And this is Chuck Wolf, and you're listening to WPKN, as you just heard. And I'm delighted to be here with you today. It's one of those, another sunny day in Connecticut, and it's warm outside. And I was particularly warm as I was coming in, and I had this experience of actually running into a giant traffic jam on one of the highways that I take to get to the station. And, you know, one of the things that I often am coaching people when I'm doing my work outside of the radio station is, and how do you address the idea of an emotion roadmap? And a lot of people want to call it an emotional roadmap. And the show, if you're just tuning in for the first time to this show, is called The Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. The emotion roadmap is about taking the wheel and controlling how you feel. And a lot of times people want to say, well, I love this emotional roadmap. And it's really hard to point out to them, well, the roadmap itself isn't emotional. But you can become emotional. And then the roadmap helps you to get from one emotion to another. So I was trying to get from Simsbury, Connecticut to Bridgeport, Connecticut this morning. And all of a sudden on my GPS, I see the map becomes all red. And for those of you that use GPS, you know that red means traffic that isn't moving or hardly moving at all. And I, you know, made the screen appear a little bigger, and I realized that I'm in some deep trouble here as far as getting to the radio station on time, because the red extended quite some ways, and it doesn't usually this time of the morning when I'm heading to the radio station. And so I thought, well, I'll use the example this morning to just talk to you a little bit about the idea that the map itself isn't emotional, but seeing the red caused some emotion in me, meaning I'm not going to be able to get to the station on time, even though I usually leave myself at least 15 or 20 extra minutes, because I had to turn around and go a whole different way. So my point is that if you're wanting to remember the name of the show, it's The Emotion Roadmap, not The Emotional Roadmap. And if you can picture in your mind when you see a map that's full of red and you're trying to drive from one place to another and everywhere you're looking has red all over the place and you know you're not going to get there on time, you become emotional. The map's just a map. Okay. Anyway, so if you know what the show is about, the show is all about you calling in and talking to me about challenges that you face, like the one I faced this morning, where you are all of a sudden feeling something strong emotionally and you have to manage it. And you have to manage it in a way that sometimes you act on it. Sometimes you have to postpone acting on it. Sometimes you have to like rethink how you're feeling about it, because perhaps the feeling you're having isn't a useful feeling. One of the fascinating things about emotional intelligence is that the feelings we have are data. And just like any data, sometimes that data is very helpful to us in making an informed decision. And sometimes that data complicates what's going on for us. And maybe it's false data. Maybe it's not useful data. That happens too in life with data. If we consider emotions as data, sometimes emotions are false emotions. We think somebody attacked us verbally, but perhaps we're mistaken. We think that, oh my God, that's career ending, that mistake I just made. Maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. Or I think that somebody just said something to that other person that offended them. Turns out maybe the other person wasn't offended. So the whole idea of emotions is to pay closer attention to them in order to understand them better, in order to know whether the emotions we currently experience are helpful to us. And if they're not, for whatever reason, if they're not, what emotion would be helpful? What emotion not only would be helpful, would be ideal to feel? That's what we help with here on this show. We help people to try to understand the power of emotions that they're experiencing when they're stuck. Smart people, in my experience, get stuck when something emotional is happening. They get stuck when something emotional is happening. Think about that. Are you stuck? Is there something in your life where you're uncertain? You're feeling a bit confused? worried about what might happen if you choose a certain strategy or direction or act in a certain way, that it might escalate a situation and make a situation worse somehow. If you've got something going on in your life that is a challenge for you right now, whether it's at work, with a colleague, with a boss, with somebody who works for you, with a customer, a vendor, anyone, and you're worried about what you might do to address it, give me a call. My professional expertise is as a leadership consultant. I help out leaders in the workplace deal with all kinds of challenging situations. I'll share one with you, kind of an interesting story that came up in one of the conversations I had with someone I'm working with this week, a client, and I encourage people when I work with them to use the emotion roadmap, just like I do on the radio show. Now, the radio show, for me, is a chance to talk to you and encourage the public who like to listen to WPKN and who may have stumbled across my station or maybe know me and tuned in to my station in this radio show, because they want to learn how to use the emotion roadmap. And you can learn how to use that. If you listen to me, I'm on Wednesdays, the first and second Wednesdays from 12 to 1 p.m. And you can learn how this emotion roadmap works. And, you know, in my professional expertise, people pay me to teach them this. But I wanted a chance to share with as many people as possible that might want to listen how to use the emotion roadmap. And here's the way that she used it. First, let me explain what it is. The emotion roadmap is based on the idea that we all have emotions. We always are feeling emotions. If you think about emotions, it's kind of like breathing. They're always there. We're always breathing, but we don't often think about breathing. Now, I've said that we're all breathing, so you're all thinking about it right now. But most of the time, you just breathe. And most of the time, we just feel things and don't think about it. But sometimes the feelings are so strong that we can't help but think about it. Sometimes the feelings are overwhelming. Sometimes the feelings push us in a direction where we feel out of control. And sometimes the feelings feel like they could go in a direction that pushes us to feel overwhelmed or out of control, and we're holding back. And one of the things that I've learned over the last 20 years or so is that we have much more power over our emotions than most of us realize, and that we can take the wheel and control how we feel. And so the emotion roadmap is about feeling. Let me give you an example I typically like to use because it's easy to understand. What if you felt anxious and you had a performance? You were on stage and you were going to have to, you know, sing the Star Spangled Banner to open up a ball game, or you're going to be in a play and this is one of the first times you were really on stage and it was a chance for you to show your stuff and to show, you know, you can really make it as an actor or actress, and you're feeling anxious. Or what if you have a presentation to make in a boardroom and it's a chance for your company to really grow if this particular company you're presenting to, you know, chooses you as the vendor for a big project perhaps? Or what if you have just a, you know, something that you want to share with a team that you're running, and you want to get them excited and passionate about the direction that you want to take the team in? All these things create, at least for some of us, some anxiety, performance anxiety. And you want to feel confident. How do you get from anxious to confident? That's the idea of an emotion roadmap. You're feeling one way, but you want to feel another. How do you do it? So if I'm working with you and you're feeling anxious and you want to feel confident, then I want to help you to explore how you might get there. So we talk a little bit about, where does anxiety come from? What's involved in causing a person, in particular you, in fact, to feel anxious? And then I'll ask a question that goes like this. I said, have you ever felt anxious before and found some way to become confident? And if you have found a way to become confident, is there something you might learn from that example from your past that might be useful right now? And curiously, even when the situations are very different, but the feelings are the same, then often there are lessons we can learn from our past experience that can be applied to our new situation that help us to move in the direction we want. In this case, from anxious to confident. And so then we explore those ways. And then in exploring them, we come up with the idea that I've got several possible ways now that I could feel less anxious. I've got several things that I could do that I've done in the past that seem like they might work here. And we begin to explore possibilities. And in exploring possibilities, I ask the question, when we have some that seem reasonable, are you really able to do what we just said? And if you answer yes to that, yes, I'm pretty sure I'm able to do it. I'll also ask, then are you really willing to do it as well? Will you engage passionately in this? Will you really want to do this way? Yes, I do. And if you answer that, yes, I do, affirmatively, strongly, with conviction, then you've got a strategy that's got a good chance of working in terms of moving you from anxious to confident. That's how it works. But because I started a little late today, I do want to ask you, what do you want to talk about today? And I've got some stories to share, but rather than me telling you a story, let me see if you want to call in. So I'll give you the number a couple of times. I love having phone calls because I love helping you real time, because if you call in, you got something going on in your life, again, at work, perhaps, or maybe at home with somebody that's in your, you know, family life, personal life somehow, and you're struggling with somebody at home, feel free to bring anything up and everything up, because this emotion roadmap lends itself to individuals, to teams, to organizations, to countries, to anything. So again, I encourage you to give me a call if you've got something going on, because when I help you, if I'm able to help you, and usually I am, I help everybody, because everybody that's listening learns how to use this emotion roadmap, which starts with, tell me about your situation. Let's identify how you are feeling and anyone who's key to what's happening might be feeling. We talk about what would be ideal to feel. In other words, if what you're feeling isn't helpful and you want to feel something different, I help you think about what would be ideal to feel. And then we explore how you might get from what is, what you are feeling, to what would be ideal. And then I ask the questions about, well, yeah, are you really able to do that? Are you willing to do that? And if you can answer yes, I've helped you. And I've demonstrated to everybody listening how this works. So let me tell you the number. 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. So I'm hoping you call. Let's see who's out there listening today. And again, thank you all for listening. For those of you that are regular listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. I like doing the show. I like knowing that people like to listen. I've got lots of callers who have told me how much they appreciate the show. That's great to hear. And I've got people that have thanked me at the end of the conversations I have with them, because they feel like when they call in and they're feeling kind of hopeless and helpless, at the end, they feel hopeful. They feel like they've got something that really just might work. Sometimes I feel like it's magic when we look at a situation and we intently focus on the emotions that are in play. Sometimes options appear as if by magic that just seem unreachable before we do this. So if you got something, give me a call. Again, the number is 203-336-9756. So let me just share with you a story about somebody who did call in, and this was a real client that I was working with. And she told me a story, because I encourage anyone that I'm working with to try using this emotion roadmap in your real life. And she had a couple of stories she told me about, and one I thought I'd share because it's very interesting. It ended up saving her company a whole lot of money. So this is the story. She calls me, and we're talking, rather, and she says, so one of the things that happened in the last week was a memo came out from her boss, and it went to all the direct reports, including herself, and she's pretty high up in her organization, and it said that if anyone, this is the memo, it said something like, if anyone has existing contracts with vendors, please check and see whether or not any payments or any contractual obligations are coming due. Because we just had an issue with a vendor where we're going to have to be penalized because we did not renew the contract on a timely basis. Well, it turns out there was something in the contract, in the fine print, that said if you don't notify us within 90 days of the renewal date that you're going to renew with us, then there's an additional charge. And I guess it has something to do with their operations and knowing, I guess they're a big company and they have a lot of orders to process and responsibilities on their end that are alleviated and work best when people pay attention to renewals so that the company can forecast accurately and have enough people in place to handle the orders upcoming. Okay, so, I mean, it sounds like that you should know that. But for whatever reason, the person who was the vendor contact for my client, who called her frequently, never mentioned that the order was coming up for renewal and there was going to be a significant penalty. This is a big contract, and the penalty was going to run somewhere around $20,000+. So as soon as my client saw the memo, she realized that the memo was in part targeted to her. It didn't specify here in the memo, which was nice, but she called and talked with her boss and said, I feel miserable about this. I didn't notice that this was coming up. But she had, before she called her boss, she thought about, wait a minute, I'm feeling miserable. I did something wrong here, I realized. But the woman who was my contact talked to me frequently and never mentioned this. And I think, you know, perhaps she should have, you know, had some kind of trigger to alert me to the upcoming renewal date so I wasn't late. It would seem that they would do that. And so she got upset and she was acting and feeling miserable. And she thought, you know, I don't want to feel this way. And she said, you know, what is Chuck always saying? He says, you know, think about how you want to feel. Well, I want to feel like I can fix this. Now, that's not a feeling word, but I want to feel satisfied, confident. I can handle this. I want to feel, that what happened is fair. And that there needs to be a different way of handling when people don't renew than punishing them. I mean, we want to continue to work with this relationship, but we're a big client of this. They should be willing to do something for us. So anyway, she thought about all of this and she realized that, you know, what I need to do is I need to talk to this woman who is my, you know, contact. But before I do that, I want to make sure that my boss understands what I want to do and that I have her support for making the phone call. So she thought about who's key in all this. And she thought, well, my boss is key because she's feeling badly. In a way, my company's key. I mean, it's not my money, but it is $20,000+, and it's a reflection on me and something that I missed that's costing the company quite a bit of money. And also the other person that's key in this is my contact and her company and how I'm feeling. So she thought about how she wanted everybody to feel like cooperative. That we could work this through, that it didn't have to be this kind of penalty. And that certainly going forward, that there would be, you know, alarms, alerts that go off that tell people like myself, she's thinking herself, that, you know, that, hey, there's an upcoming bill to pay if you want to renew. If you don't want to renew, then it'd be kind for you to let us know. But if you do want to renew, that in order for us to be able to be on time and be able to service your, you know, your request, you have to renew within 90 days of the contract running out. Anyway, she called her boss, and her boss thought, that's a great idea. Why don't you call the vendor? You absolutely have my support for doing that. She contacted the people, the person who she worked with, and the person felt very badly, as it turns out, that she had not alerted my client to this. And she said, you know what, let me go back inside to my people and see what I can do. And she came back and she said, you know what, we take responsibility for not alerting you earlier. We know it's in the contract. We know you signed the contract and we could, you know, in theory hold you accountable, but that's not the way we want to do business. The fact that you want to continue to work with us, that's great. And I will be certain, and perhaps you should on your calendar as well, just to put a note down that the next time the contract comes up, the 90 days out, that please let us know if you want to renew. And I will also remind you that that's required for the contract to go forward next time. And there actually will be no penalty going forward this year. Great, right? So by thinking about the emotion she was feeling, about the emotion she wanted to feel, about how her boss was feeling, about how she wanted her boss to feel, about how the vendor was feeling or likely to feel when she called her and how she wanted the vendor to feel. She saved her company like $23,000 or $4,000, I believe, by making a couple of phone calls and completely turning it around. That's what I mean by sometimes it seems like magic happens. You know, instead of just feeling badly about this and paying the fine and moving forward with the contract and feeling awful about it, she asked herself, what do I want to feel instead? And how do I create that feeling? How do I stop feeling miserable and start feeling comforted, satisfied, even ecstatic? Because I think she actually felt quite joyous that she was able to turn this around. And her boss was pretty impressed. And the vendor now has knows that she's getting more business, so she's happy. I mean, they didn't have, need to be punishing with the fine, but I'm sure they would have gladly taken it if the woman never made the phone call, right? Anyway, I thought that was a pretty neat example of how the emotion roadmap worked in real life. Neat story. So if you've got a story that you can share and you want some help with it, again, the number to call, and I guess a reminder when you do call in, turn your radio down so I can hear you. The number to call is 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. So whoever called before, I hope you call back and that you figured out how to do this without your radio being on. I know sometimes what happens is people, you know, they're on the radio, it's a big deal, and they want to try and hear themselves at the same time. But for whatever reason, the technology doesn't allow for that. So you're going to have to turn your radio down. Anyway, the number 203-336-9756. And I'll wait a minute and give you a minute to call in. Okay. So we have got a caller. So you know, I'll go on with the topic that I was going to talk about today. Today's topic I wanted to address was this idea of what it means in terms of being a leader. And what's the role of emotions in working with leaders? I've been working for the last several months on a chapter. This was a nice honor for me. There's going to be a professional desk reference, it's called, for helping coaches be successful in the workplace. Those of you that don't know about coaches in the workplace, you probably may know about coaches, you know, if you have children, coaches for your children in sports or dance or other kinds of events. You know, you have a performance coach in theater or a coach perhaps in band or orchestra. So there's lots of places where coaches, maybe you may realize that coaches exist. They also are in professional sports if you pay attention to those. For a last number of years, there's been an enormous amount of coaching taking place inside organizations. Some organizations actually hire coaches to work with entire teams of senior and mid-level leaders. They develop curriculum to coach people on topics like human resource management, on delegation, on decision making, on planning and managing. You know, there's lots of topics that relate to the role of leader. And sometimes people formally create a curriculum that address helping leaders move from, you know, when they move into leadership in the first place. You know, when anytime you take someone from an individual role where they've been contributing, and you make them a team leader or supervisor at the earliest levels of leadership in an organization, there's much to learn. Now, obviously, everyone who's worked for someone knows what their experience is of being led, but that's quite different than actually being the person in charge of leading others. And there's a lot to learn. And then as you move from one level of leadership where you're managing a number of individuals to a level where you're now managing some supervisors who are managing a number of individuals, and the next level up where you're managing some managers who are managing a number of supervisors who are managing a number. As you can see, the skill set and the needs change as you move up a hierarchy until maybe you're in charge of an organization like you know, Philips Electronics of over 500,000 people or something. So every level, there's new learning that takes place. And one of the things that in this chapter I was asked to write, my chapter was called Successful Coaches Influence Leaders' Emotions thoughts and actions. Because a lot of times coaches are brought in organizations to help people with these topics, as I mentioned, or sometimes they're brought in to help an individual leader guide a large scale change, for instance, in an organization. Or they're brought in to help an individual leader build a stronger team because the team isn't functioning as a team. It's more like a group of individuals who all happen to report to the same person, and you need them to be more thoughtful about each other in terms of how they work with each other and how they think about each other and how they help one another so that they feel more team-like than group-like. So coaches are brought in for multiple reasons. And the request made to me was that they said we're seeking authors from all over the world who are expert in particular areas, and we'd like you to write a chapter, Chuck, on what the role of emotions is in coaching. In coaching leaders, what is the role of emotion? And so my chapter, again, is called Successful Coaches Influence Leaders' Emotions, Thoughts, and Actions. Because if you want to help somebody act differently, then you want them thinking differently. And if you want them thinking differently, you want to impact what they're feeling, because feelings drive thoughts and thoughts drive actions. Now, sometimes feelings drive actions without much thought. Most of us have been there. But a lot of times the way it works is feelings drive thoughts and thoughts drive actions. And that's what my chapter's about. So one of the things that I was looking at is that many of us are dealing with changes, and change, as one of the people I had the pleasure of working alongside many years ago, who went on to become a professor emeritus now at Harvard Business School and one of the leading thinkers in helping organizations deal with change, is a person named John Cotter, K-O-T-T-E-R. And I think it was 2008, he wrote a book called A Sense of Urgency. He said that most organizations need to constantly be changing, and that change is no longer episodic, meaning that, you know, a single change happens and we have to really work hard to adapt to that change and stabilize and then move and then maybe consider another change, but, you know, first stabilize. He said change isn't like that anymore. Change is now continuous, not episodic. Change happens all the time. Now, I think you still have to find ways to stabilize, because most of the time we need to we need to at least have some time just to settle everything down. But nevertheless, we're impacted by change all the time, whether it's technological, whether it's governmental, whether it's new products, whether it's competition. Something is always driving change. And he said that one of the reasons change efforts fail so often is because they don't have a sense of urgency. This idea that, we can take our time. We can just think this through methodically. We can be, just kind of like relax a bit about it. And he said, you have to spend time thinking about how you get inclusion, how you get support, how you minimize resistance. And that does take time. But you have to deal with all of that in terms of your planning for it with a sense of urgency. And then once you have that plan in place, you've got to operate that plan with a sense of urgency. He said most organizational change efforts fail because people lack a sense of urgency. How do you create those feelings? That's what he asked. How do you create those feelings? So for John, who, when I met him many years ago, was one of the most analytic, brilliant data geek guys I ever knew, has now said data is not enough. You have to pay attention to how people are feeling. And the most important feeling is that you have a sense of urgency about getting the changes necessary in place in preparation for the next change that's coming and the next change that's coming, because change is continuous. It's no longer episodic. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, if you want to call in, let me give you the number again so I don't run out of time, but I'll talk more about the chapter because it's interesting in case I don't get any calls. But the number to call, if you have something going on for you, and by the way, I've got 20 minutes left, so I have enough time to help a couple of people if you want to call. So I'm going to be away next week. Let me tell you a couple things about next week. I'm going to have on a show that I've had on before, because I think it's very powerful, and it's about two women, who several years ago sat in this studio with me and talked about their initial feelings about going to college for the first time. And on that phone call with them, I had an expert who actually works with freshmen, incoming freshman women, talk about the experiences that many young women have in their first college experience. So it was a wonderful dialogue. I've got a lot of nice compliments about the show. So if you know anybody that's going to be coming into having young women sending them off to college for the first time, they'll want to listen to the show. And so, you know, and again, if you're a young woman and you're going off to college for the first time, I'm sure you'll enjoy the show too. And even if you're already in college or been out of college, I think you'll have fun listening to the show and thinking about how some of the things that we talked about are very true, or maybe you have a little different experience and so forth. But anyway, that show will be aired next week, so it won't be live, but it'll be a show I think you'll want to listen to. And also, if in case you happen to love music, lots of music, one of the best experiences I have had since coming to WPKN 7 years ago is to have a chance to volunteer at the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival in New York. I'm going to be there on Friday. Actually, I think the booth's going to be set up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to help Mike Horzen set up the tent and so forth. And so I'll be over at the tent at 5 o'clock, but I'll be there early just kind of walking around and listening to music. I love that festival. It's one of the nicest festivals I've ever gone to. And I don't. There's a lot of folk music, but there's other kinds of music as well. And if you've ever been around people that love folk music, you know they're some of the nicest people in the world. So I encourage you to get out there. If you have a chance, come by and say hello. I'd love to meet you. If you happen to listen to this show and you're a regular, even better. But I'm going to be there this Friday. So I hope I get to see some of you there. And I do want to just repeat the phone number in case you want to call in. You have a chance. It's 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. And I'll wait a minute for you. I'll give you the number one more time. 203-336-9756. Now, if you got something, don't wait, because you'll wait too long and I won't be able to help you. And I won't be back until the 1st of September, the first week in September. Again, I'm on the first and second Wednesdays of the month from 12 to 1. And I'm part of this community strip that WPKN has. And the idea of community is that we reach out to you and you call in on occasion. 203-336-9756. I'll wait one more minute. Give you one more chance here. So if you got something, you know, don't wait, because this is a chance to get some free expert help as a part of what WPKN offers that makes us so unique and special out there. Okay, well, we don't have anybody calling in. So I'll just continue then and tell you about this chapter. By the way, have you ever done anything creative where you've written something, whether it's poetry or, you know, a paper for a class maybe, or something that you hope to publish? I don't know if you've ever done that, but when you give it to somebody to read for the first time, there's this apprehension. Now, maybe if you're a regular... Oh, okay, just a minute. Hi, this is Chuck. You're on the air. Who am I talking to?
Hello, my name is Joni.
Hi, Joni.
I hope the radio's down low enough.
Oh, it's fine. Thank you. Yes.
I've been a listener for quite some time, and I spoke to you once before about having a problem with the woman who was offering me a room in her home, but she did not want me to lock the doors.
I remember.
And finally she succumbed to my wishes, and I had 3 keys made, and then she had me return them. Well, things got worse, and now I have another abode, and I'm living with 3 gentlemen, to put it mildly. I'm 66 years old and never married, but raised a fine son who did not have to be told what to do. ever. I have just finished sweeping with a broom the entire house. There are no rugs. It's just hard floors. And the men step over the mats that I purchased to keep the dirt from coming in. And they don't seem to hear my nice recommendations about how easy it is for one to wipe one foot and then the other. And I don't have to tell you what the water closet is like.
Uh-huh.
I'm the last to use the water closet, and the only one who cleans it.
Yeah.
I am a very tidy and neat woman, and I do this really not for their benefit, but for my own. But I am physically exhausted. It's been a warm, muggy summer here on Long Island, as it has been everywhere.
Right.
And I don't have an air conditioner because the house won't take that kind of jolt of energy.
Right.
No TV. The only solace I have is this radio station. It's my lifeline. And so I don't know how to approach these men. I've just downgraded them, as you can see, from gentlemen to men.
Right.
about how cleanliness is a virtue. And
right.
I can put up with toilet seats being in the upright position. In most public restrooms, you'll find them in that position.
Right.
I've learned to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't want to be having to harp on them. I know it's irritating. They're in their 50s. One had been married, so he must have had some kind of wifely training. Womanly training.
Right.
And I don't want them being mad at me because then they might make my life a little bit more harder than it's become. So I don't want it. I want to be dainty and diplomatic at the same time. But I'm really getting a little down in the dumps. And
yeah.
Dump is a good word to describe the situation.
Well, you haven't lost your sense of humor, Joni, that's for sure.
No. I'm so glad that I was endowed with a sense of humor because that's what's getting me through it. And I am making a lot of people chuckle at these stories.
Right, and I can see that. No, I appreciate you calling in. Let me ask you a quick question, a couple that might be helpful. So you're feeling, first of all, exhausted, I guess, in part because you're doing all this cleaning. And what you would like to feel is like at least supported in the fact that people were trying to keep it cleaner. You're not asking not to do this. You just wish that they'd make more of an effort, it sounds like. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've approached them and said things about it, but you don't want to be obnoxious about it because then they might get irritated with you, and then things could get worse instead of better.
That's right.
Okay, and so one of the things that you have as a strength is your sense of humor, I think, but maybe it's not funny to you what's going on, so you haven't been able to deal with it humorously. And that's why you're calling in. When you talk about it to other people, it's humorous, but maybe not when you're talking to them.
Right.
What if it could be? What if
they could have a sense of humor?
No, what if you could have a sense of humor about it with them?
With them? I've tested the humorous waters, and they are not responsive. These two gentlemen, the third is the owner of the house, and he is he's my friend, so he is considerate.
Okay.
He'll admit that he's not tidy. He was brought up without a mother. His mother died when he was 8 years old, so he said he didn't have that. He
yeah.
didn't have that benefit. So he acknowledges his shortcomings. But the two men that are boarders, they're brothers, and I have tried to talk with them when we're outside of the house, sitting outside with all the broken-down boats and cars, and felt them out, and they don't respond to what little, I guess, tidbits of of jokes I can make with them. And they don't seem to laugh. They're on a serious side. One claims to be a poet and an artist, and the other one is an avid fisherman. In fact, there are pounds and pounds of fish that are just laying in the freezer without any wrapping on them. So that I could make some jokes about, but I don't know if they would like them. I know some very old, I think, big vaudevillian jokes that have to do with the subject of fish. But I can't get them to even smile.
How long have you been there, Joni?
It will be 3 weeks on Sunday.
Okay, so you're early into the relationship. I would, just a couple of thoughts, and, you know, to share that might be useful to you. I think the first one is lower your expectations so that you manage your own emotions, because that's what you control, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one that you control is your own emotions. So you, and I think when we talked before, I think it was interesting you got the woman to give you some keys, but I think one of the things that we talked about was, you know, you're living in her house, you got to be willing to live by her rules, and that's true wherever you are when it's not your home.
Right.
And so you've entered a new situation, and you've got another set of circumstances that are not pleasant for you. And so as long as you're in this man's house, it's kind of funny the way you describe it, because she's like, they didn't have a wife, they didn't have a mother. You know, like men need to be taught to be clean. and I'm laughing because it was true for me too. And it took a long time for my wife and I to get on the same page. And she'd probably tell you that I could still improve quite a bit around some of these things. But I'm better, but it's because I love her, and it's because the relationship has lasted a long time, and I've tried very hard, because it's not that important to me. But it is important to her, and it seems like it's more important to more women than it is to men, which is just kind of curious by itself. But anyhow, it seems to me that, number one, give yourself more time, lower your expectations. But when I say, if you could be lighthearted about it, you know, as they come in, you folks don't mind that I'm sleeping up, do you? I mean, just, you know, smile when you say it. And no, I don't mind. And over time, if you establish a nice relationship with them, no expectations for them, I think that they will do better. Not to the degree that you want. Don't expect that. But I think when they see you working hard and you smile at them, you don't frown when they come in because they step over the rug and they don't wipe their feet. Or, you know, you might say, I don't know what else. I mean, whether you care about the fish in the freezer that are sitting there, would you mind if I wrapped them up? I mean, would you have any problem? You know, but I'd smile when I'm doing those things. That's what I mean about a light touch.
Yes.
And then see if you can establish a relationship. And then, you know, it may not happen fast, Joni, but if you're going to be there a while, I think over time you'll see them try to be a little neater for you without you having to say anything about it. But it's not ever going to be great, and you need to know that too.
Well, this might cure me from ever desiring a mate the rest of my life.
Yeah, it might. But, you know, I mean, as far as I can tell, Joni, life offers you some, you know, tough circumstances that you turn into funny stories to share with other people. So be appreciative of that part of it, I guess.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And I thank you. And I will be able to, I will smile and be lighthearted.
And with lowered expectations, and so any little change you see, be appreciative. And there's, you know, and as I said, you know, you're doing this for you. And so they don't need it, they don't care about it, doesn't matter to them. But as they get to know you and get to like you, they'll do a little bit more because they want to be supportive. That's what you're hoping for.
Sounds good.
Okay, Joni, thanks a lot for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, folks, that's it for me. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. It's been WPKN 89.5 FM, listener-supported radio, and this is Chuck Wolf. You've been listening to The Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. And with that, I will turn on the news announcements. By the way, if you've got a chance, Next week, I'm going to have a show on about two young women off to college with an expert who knows about that experience, and we'll talk with them and me about it. And then also, if you're up at Falcon Ridge Folk Festival on Friday, look me up. I'll be at the WPKN tent at around 5 o'clock. Take care, everybody.